7 with a purport. It's written in prose form, so I'll try to just do the text 34 and then read the translation for the rest of them. Tata parastal loka loka nama chalo loka lokaryo antarale parita upakshipitaha. Translation. Thereafter, beyond the ocean of sweet water and fully surrounding it, is a mountain named Lokaloka, which divides the countries that are full of sunlight from those not lit by the sun. Text 35. Beyond the ocean of sweet water is a tract of land as broad as the area between the middle of Mount Sumeru and the boundary of the Manasottara mountain. In that tract of land, there are many living beings. Beyond it, extending in Lokaloka mountain, is another land which is made of gold. Because of its golden surface, it reflects the light. It reflects the light like the surface of a mirror, and any physical article that falls on that land can never be perceived again. All living entities, therefore, have abandoned that golden land. Between the lands inhabited by living entities and those that are uninhabited stands the great mountain which separates the two and which is therefore celebrated as Loka Aloka, Loka Aloka. Text 37. By the supreme will of Krishna, the mountain known as Loka Aloka has been installed as the outer border of the three worlds, Bhurloka, Bhuvaloka, and Swarloka, to control the rays of the sun throughout the universe. All the luminaries, from the sun up to Dhruvaloka, distribute their rays throughout the three worlds, but only within the boundary formed by this mountain. Jai. Because it is extremely high, extending even higher than Dhruvaloka, it blocks the rays of the luminaries, which therefore can never extend beyond it. Purport. When we speak of Lokatraya, we refer to the three primary planetary systems, Bhu, Bhuva, and Swa, into which the universe is divided. Surrounding these planetary systems are the eight directions, namely east, west, north, south, northeast, southeast, northwest, and southwest. Lokaloka mountain has been established as the outer boundary of all the lokas to distribute the rays of the sun and other luminaries equally throughout the universe. This vivid description of how the rays of the sun are distributed throughout the different planetary systems of the universe is very scientific. Shukadev Goswami described these universal affairs to Maharaj Parikshit as he had heard them from his predecessor. He explained these facts 5,000 years ago, but the knowledge existed long, long before, because Shukadev Goswami received it through disciplic succession. Because this knowledge is accepted through disciplic succession, it is perfect. The history of modern scientific knowledge, on the contrary, does not go back more than a few hundred years. Therefore, even if modern scientists do not accept the other factual presentations of Srimad Bhagavatam, how can they deny the perfect astronomical calculations that existed long before they could imagine such things? There is no such information to gather, there is so much information to gather from Srimad Bhagavatam. Modern scientists, however, have no information of other planetary systems and, indeed, are hardly conversant with the planet on which we are now living. Om Agyanati Mirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Takshun Militam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam. Vandeyaham Sri Guru Sri Yuta Padakamalam Sri Guru Vaishnavamscha. Sri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Ragunatam Vitam Tamsajivam. Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam. Sri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Sri Visakha Vitamscha. Hey Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Vandu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostate Tapta Kanchana Gorangi Radhe Vrindavanishwari Vishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Pancha Kalpatrubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Evacha Patitanam Bhavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jayatam Surato Pango Mama Manda Mate Gati Mat Sarvasa Param Bujo Radha Madana Mohano Divyad Vrindaranya Kalpa Jumada Shrimad Ratnangara Singha Sanasto Shishi Radha Shila Govinda Devo Pristalibi Sevyamana Smarami Shrimad Rasa Rasa Rambi Vamsivata Tatasita Karsam Venu Sunai Gopi Gopinata Shriye Sunai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasari Gaur Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So thereafter, beyond the ocean of sweet water and fully surrounding it is a mountain named Loka Loka, which divides the countries that are full of sunlight from those that are not lit by the sun. Beyond the ocean of sweet water is a tract of land as broad as the area between the middle of Mount Sumeru and the boundary of Manasuttara mountain. In that tract of land, there are many living beings. Beyond it, extending to Loka Loka mountain, is another land which is made of gold. So we shouldn't tell the business people about this land. They might try to go inhabit it. Because of its golden surface, it reflects the light like the surface of a mirror, and any physical article that falls on that land can never be perceived again. All living entities, therefore, have abandoned that golden land. So nobody owns it, no man's land. We definitely shouldn't tell them about it. Between the lands inhabited by living entities and those that are uninhabited stands the great mountain which separates the two, and which is therefore celebrated as Loka Loka. Loka meaning that place where people are, and Aloka meaning where nobody else is. By the supreme will of Krishna, the mountain known as Loka Loka has been installed as the outer border of the three worlds, Bhuloka, Bhuvarloka, and Swarloka, to control the rays of the sun throughout the universe. All the luminaries from the sun up to Dhruvaloka distribute their rays throughout the three worlds, but only within the boundary formed by this mountain. Because it is extremely high, extending even higher than Dhruvaloka, it blocks the rays of the luminaries, which therefore can never extend beyond it. So here we see that people really have no understanding of what's going on, even within our own universe. We become nicely romantic, you know. Look at the stars, look how they shine for you, and all the things you do, you know. Or I see the moon, and the moon sees me. God bless the moon, and God bless me. So people, we fantasize about all these different things in the universe, but we don't know the purpose behind them. And as far as the material mind is concerned, there is no purpose behind them other than for my sense gratification. You know, it's like God knew that John Brown was coming to this earth, and so he sent the moon and the stars, you know, wait till he gets there and then shine down for him. He should see you, you should see him. And I'll bless him, and etc., etc. But from Srimad Bhagavatam, we understand that everything has a purpose. Every single thing in Krishna's creation has a purpose. He doesn't just create purposelessly. And it's not like, okay, put this here. Yeah, let's in the beginning of creation, you know, God said, let there be light, and there was light. You know, let there be a mountain over there, and there was a mountain. No. But why should there be a mountain there? And Srimad Bhagavatam gives us, as Srila Prabhupada says in the purport, this vivid description. So we can understand everything that is going on in order to become convinced that there is a supreme order behind things. There is a supreme personality who has put things into place, who has set things in motion. So that we can understand these things factually. For our own benefit and also for those who we are trying to help understand what is God. Or else there is no purpose of writing all these things or explaining all these things in Srimad Bhagavatam. But the purpose behind it is that people are looking for something. People are looking for a supreme being. People are looking for a supreme satisfaction. But unfortunately, they're going outside for that satisfaction. They're going to iPod, U-Pod, Wii-Pod, all kinds of different pods, trying to get some satisfaction, and they're not getting it. But all these unwanted things, as they get it, it gives them more trouble. Now you have the cell phone, and it looks really nice, and you can just touch it and, you know, slide your finger here, and this appears on the surface of the phone. But you have to pay so much money in order to maintain it. So for your sense gratification, you have to really pay. Everything we do for the senses, we have to seriously pay. It's like somebody goes into Walmart, you know, and they carry their little basket with them. And you can put as much things as you want in that basket. But you just can't walk out. You have to get to the counter. And for each item you have to account for it. You know, $3.99, $15.99, $10.99. You have to pay for these things. So we are getting all these different things, and the same things we're getting are the exact things that are causing us trouble. Asanapi kleshada ashadeha. The same things that we're enjoying now, we don't realize that, well, the reason I got these things is because I performed some action back then, you know. And now, instead of performing better action for a better purpose, we're performing the same useless action, as Rishabhadev says to his son. Nunam Pramata, they're certainly crazy. Why? Kurute Vikarma, always performing these dangerous actions, these sinful actions. And why? Yad Indriya Pritya Yad Indriya Pritya Aprinoti. And because the senses are demanding it. You know, I want to see this, I want to hear that. We're listening to that in the reading this morning. You know, our five senses are demanding all kinds of things. Show me this. I want to taste this. I want to hear it. I want to smell this. And we're running all over the place. Where is this? Where is this? But nasadu manye yata atmano yam asanapi kleshada ashade. It is not good. People should understand this is not beneficial for them. They should understand the reason I'm suffering now is because I ran after other things back then. Now I'm running again after other things now. It's not going to benefit us. And people have to know it. But the mass of people do not know this. Srimad Bhagavatam tells us. Lokasya janata. They don't know this. And therefore, vidvam chakre sattvata samhitam. At vidvam, that person who knows, he has established this sattvata samhitam. He has written this sattvata samhitam. And if we really look deeper into it, this Srimad Bhagavatam is describing Srila Prabhupada. If we really think deeper into it. Because at what time in the universe were people not really taught the Vedic principles? You know? Up to 100 years ago, people still had Vedic culture. There was still culture where you learned from your ancestors, you know, how to do this, how to do that. At what time in the universe is it anatopasanam sakshat? People are experiencing so many miseries. It's now. It's now. We're creating our culture, and with each culture that we create for sense gratification, it comes with its own set of diseases, its own set of miseries. And now we're creating so many miseries. But anatopasanam sakshat bhakti yogam adoksati. By this bhakti yoga process, all of our anattas that we're imagining, you know, it's very superfluous to us. It can be immediately mitigated by the linking process of devotional service. But the mass of people, lokasya janata, they don't know. Very few, how many of us are in this temple room sitting here trying to understand what is Srimad Bhagavatam? So the mass of people do not know this. And Vidvam, Srila Prabhupada, has come and translated this Sattvata Samhitam. Param Satyam Dhimahi. That's what we should be telling people. How to understand the Absolute Truth. How to understand what is in relation with that Absolute Truth. Why? So that they can be completely satisfied. You know? Because no matter what they do in the material world, version 3.0, version 7.0, 3D, 4D, no matter what the material energy creates, it's all an external show. It's all an external show. And no matter what the material energy creates, we'll be baffled again and again and again and again and again and again and again. You know? And because of this baffling situation, we will die, and then we'll come back, be baffled a little more, and then we die, and it's going on. So our duty as devotees is really to understand deeply what this Srimad Bhagavatam is talking about, because people want to know. And we have taken shelter of this Srimad Bhagavatam, you know, looking for light, how to survive this Kali Yuga episode, and we have to give answers. People are coming to us for answers, and we have to give those answers. And we have to train them properly in understanding these answers. It's not just, here's the knowledge, now do as you like with it. No. But here's the knowledge, now do like this, do like this, do like this. And so therefore the scriptures give us not just the knowledge, but the application process also. Nectar of Instruction, I've been really studying more and more Nectar of Instruction. And it's amazing how Srila Prabhupada packs, you know, the nectar into those little instructions in that book. You know. And without the six loving exchanges of devotees, we really can't understand this philosophy. It really helps us solidify everything we're learning. Day in, day out. Day in, day out. By regularly attending these Bhagavatam classes, by discussing, Nana Shastra Vicharanai, Vicharanayaka Nipuna. Why? Saddharma Samstapako, to establish real religious principles. Lokanam Hitakarina, for the benefit of people out there. We joined this movement because it was a movement, Lokanam Hitakarina, to benefit others. It's not every man for himself anymore. The Hare Krishna movement means us to help other people. Come on, you know, you're suffering. Let's go back to Krishna. Let's not suffer anymore. And let me help you, you know. And you help me. If that means I have to yell at you, if that means I have to tell you, Prabhu, get off the bodily platform. Get off the mental platform. You're puffed up. You're this, you're that. No, I don't hate you guys. I'm saying that. You know, that we have to help each other. You know? If it means, well, I'm on the GBC board and I have to get involved with politics and issues and management, so I have to get involved with this thing. Why? Lokanam hitakarino. For the benefit of others. And we see the result. Those people who are taking on that trouble, especially of broadcasting this message, it's not easy to just go and broadcast the message of Bhagavatam. You have to have a whole structure behind it. You know, so that people can come and understand what is the culture of Bhagavatam. People have to come and understand that. They have to understand it's not just management in the material world, and when you get up there, you know, you do what you want. The management up there is even is even more intense. You know, Purnamasi, she has the place under control. Yogamaya, Tulsi, all of them, they have their jobs they're doing to make sure everything is perfect for Krishna's pleasure. To make sure everything is perfect. So we really have to understand what we're doing in this Hare Krishna movement. We have to understand why we're learning these things. And we have to put it into practice. You know? When Srila Prabhupada says this, it's not we have to find out is it practical or not. No. How can we apply it? That's our job. You know? How can we apply these principles? You So we have a big task ahead of us. Kali Yuga is advancing. Some of us are experiencing birth. Some of us are experiencing disease. Most of us are experiencing old age. We see some of our friends have experienced death. You know, so we have to find a way to keep this disciplic succession going further. And that means we have to extend ourselves and train people properly how to understand the Supreme Person. We shouldn't let it die with us. The knowledge shouldn't die with us. Because if it does, then we have to come back and teach. You know. So I'm going to stop there. It's 8 o'clock. Are there some questions? Or some comments or concerns? Yes, Prabhu?
Different presentation about the universe. So if you're speaking to your peers, how do you get them to reconcile what they've heard in school and science class with what you're hearing in the fifth canto?
I had that exact experience at UCLA, Santa Monica. And I took this evolutionary psychology class. And the guy was so good. Our professor was convinced about what he was teaching. He was so convinced, he would convince the theists that there is no... he was far out. This guy was so good in his subject, you know. But at one point, not challengingly, but really, hey, I've been taught something completely different than what you're saying, you know. So this evolved into this, and the mind evolved around this, and for preservation of species, this happened, that happened. But everything really looks like it's more in order to me. You know, you never find somebody with an eye that's here, you know, or teeth here. It's like teeth always come here, the eye always come here, you know, genitals always there, the hands are always here. Everything is in order. And there's always winter, then spring, then summer, then fall, you know. On the contrary, if we put every machine here and left it and came back 10,000 years, it would disintegrate. So how can science say that things just evolved? You know, there was this bang and then things just evolved. And my teacher admitted in class, he said, well, we can't say what happened before the Big Bang, but we can say what happened after. So I asked him, so you're not denying the possibility of there being a God then, or there being a supreme reason behind everything? And he said, for me personally, no, you know, I'm not denying that. And so the whole class kind of, you know, we got into this whole creation, you know, discussion, and he had to bring the lecture back to, you know, there's not a religious class, this is evolutionary psychology. So for the sake of just learning that, let's just teach this, you know. But it was an interesting experience for me. And yes, we do learn all kinds of different things. And as Srila Prabhupada says here, the scientists, they have no information. You know, their knowledge is just, 200-300 years ago. You know, maybe it's like this, maybe it was like that, and they can't come to some conclusion. You know? But we can come to a conclusion because we've been shown a way how to come to a conclusion, not by our own understanding. Huh? Yes, tako pratishtam shutayo vibina, nasa risa yasya matanabina. You're not a rishi unless you can, you know, well, I think, you know, in my opinion, this is like this. You know? But for us, we understand dharmasya tattvam nihita guhayam, that the truth of Dharma is hidden within the hearts of those great souls. And therefore, when you meet a great soul, take its association, you know. Because lava matra sadhu sangha, by a moment of his association, you can understand things. Therefore, mahajana yena gata sapanta. Whatever they advocate for you to follow, you follow that, and you will come to some understanding. So it's not just that we have to come to some understanding, but how to then deter people from what the scientists are teaching out there. Because they're definitely in the lead in the race right now. But we have to come to that conclusion and then practice it. Our characters have to say it also. You know, we should terrify the scientists. When they see our war paints on our face, they should be scared. These guys have something to say and we're not going to make them say it. You know? They should be terrified. We should be immersed in understanding of Srimad Bhagavatam and the culture of it, and they should be terrified of us. and we can challenge them in their classrooms. You know, most of our young friends, we're all in college now. You know, we shouldn't just sit there and learn something just to make a living. We should leave the room with a bang. You know, the college should give us an honorable discharge. Please leave. Here's your degree. Thank you for coming. You're teaching something else. Like Prahlad Maharaj did. We're followers of Prahlad Maharaj. You know, he disturbed his classmates. He caused trouble before he left school. He got sent to detention and all of these. But, you know, so we should be like that also. Is that all right?
Thank you. Very nice answer. It's funny you mentioned SMC, because when my wife was there, she also got into a similar situation arguing about Darwinian evolution.
Oh, wow.
So the teacher said, well, what do you know? You know, she said, well, I may not be trained in that regard, but one of the members of my temple, he wrote a book again. He said, who is that? She said, Michael Cremo. He said, oh.
Whoops.
Yeah. He immediately stopped. He started, you know, giving respect, because they all know him. The
yeah.
scientists out there, they know him and they respect him.
There's actually a whole group of scientists now challenging Darwin. I was just reading online and watching a video also, you know. And they're looking and saying, okay, he had all these theories about natural selection, but how did nature go in and select all those tiny cells, and how they all come together so properly to make the little tiny cells start running, you know. And then, so even they are challenging Darwin's natural selection. Next question. Somebody had their hand. Prem Sankirtan Prabhu.
You seems to me very learned, and you seems to me.
Could you
to
speak
get,
a little slower?
Seems to me to you're very learned. You really get taste for Srila Prabhupada books. Can you give me some tips how to get taste for studying Srila Prabhupada books?
Oh, how to get it?
Give me some tips.
It seems that I'm really learned and I should give you some tips.
I really need it. I really, from the heart.
You need extra glasses, Prabhu. I'm not very learned, actually. I like the Sanskrit language. I like language since I was a kid. And so it's kind of fun just learning these things. But the benefit of it is, as far as Sanskrit is concerned, the more you quote it, purification comes, and then you begin to seem like you're kind of smart. So, I seem like I'm kind of smart, but I really don't know much. But Bhagavatam recommends Satam Prasanga, that we always have to have good association, and Mama Virya Samvido, and always in that association, hear about Krishna, discuss topics about Krishna. And it becomes pleasing to the heart, you know. It really becomes pleasing to the heart. Pralananda Swami recommends really using our imagination. Dharma Kshetre, Kuru Kshetre, Samaveda Yuyutsava. That when we understand this Dharma Kshetra, this Kuru Kshetra, what are they doing there? You know, Bhagavad Gita is about to be spoken. But what's the situation? You know, you have celebrities there. It's like Drona and Karna and Jayadrata and Arjuna and Yudhisthira. It's like, you know, ancient Golden Globes Awards happening over there, you know. And Sanjay, he's on the red carpet explaining to Dhritarashtra, oh king, you know, I see Dhritarashtra and I see, not Dhritarashtra, but I see Duryodhana and your son is doing this and he's doing, it's a huge thing. But why have they gathered there? You know, said, hey, how are you doing? You just there, what's your latest outfit? You know, well, this is my armor from Gucci and this is my helmet from Helmut Lang. No. Samaveva Yuyutsava, they're about to kick butt on that battlefield. Fighting spirit, that's why they're there. So we have to imagine these things. We have to put ourselves on the battlefield. You know? We have to understand Duryodhana's fear as he's going up to his teacher. You know, using his diplomacy. That son of yours, you know, is over there helping them in their army. You know, you've so nicely trained him, he's over there. We have to see Arjuna freaking out. What's going to happen? I'm fighting my family. We have to sit there and understand, hear the conversation. Or else, what conversation are we hearing? Or else, what are we seeing? If we can immerse ourselves in the Bhagavad Gita, in the Bhagavatam, we have to do that. You know? Then you really have fun with the scriptures, or you can really bring it to your own light. So, that's the advice I will give, is really just get into it and study it like that. Use your imagination. You know, but those words, they're not vague words. You know, there's a mountain. We know what a mountain looks like. And we know that a mountain, if the sun goes behind the mountain, it becomes dark on this side. You know, it's saying that right here. This vivid description of how the rays of the sun are distributed. It's a vivid description. That means you should be able to really envision it. You know? Yes, Prabhu? Sajitanoi Prabhu?
Following the same kind of questions and the scientists, a couple of weeks ago, I met a student who told me that he appreciated Prabhupada's books to some extent. Mm-hmm. And he mentioned that his uncle has all kinds of books and he does yoga and everything. He said, except when you touch the theme of science, I don't like the way you do it. He says, that part, I cannot take it. Mm-hmm. And that's the part that he's having trouble. How would you advise him to...
Well, we have to start to practice and understand and digest what is digestible. The issue or the problem in modern society is we are so addicted to instant gratification. We want to understand everything right now. You know, what does it mean? What does it mean? I don't get it. You know, you're explaining this loka, it sounds loco, really. You know, what does it mean? You know, tell me right now. But until people actually begin to calm down, you know, like making devotees, I see that. Like when you try to really like preach to a young guy and try to convince him to, hey, spend the night at our ashram or something. You see the anxiety within them. You see the fear. You know, they don't know what's happening. So you really have to tell them, hey man, calm down. You know, start with what you understand. Really, start with what you understand. And you'd be surprised that you understand more than just this little hang up on the scientific part. You know, so if people can understand, therefore we need a culture that goes with the knowledge. If people can understand the little parts of the knowledge and get the culture around it, these people care for each other. They're exercising these loving exchanges between devotees. You know, I feel safe around them. You know, when they do that, if they can learn to trust you, then by the time they get to fifth canto, thank God, it's all the way in the fifth canto. You know, most devotees hardly read up to fifth canto. You know, so by the time they get there, then they're able to accept it. So we have to start with the subject matter of really giving them that type of shelter. Krishna says four type of people surrender to him. And most of the people that come are people who are in distress. So we have to show them first this Hare Krishna mantra works. Start chanting it and get freed from your distress. You know, be delivered. Nectar of devotion says that. Bhakti frees one from all distress. So we have to give them that first. When they're okay, when they're kind of normal, you know, when they're kind of normal, when they actually appreciate prasadam, when they appreciate kirtan and stuff like that, then we start to train them as human beings. You know, these are rules and regulations. That's what Srila Prabhupada did. Am I wrong? Prabhupada's disciples sitting here. You know, didn't immediately. Mother Malati was explaining. Sometimes Swamiji would just leave the food there and would come and eat, you know. And then finally, Swamiji, is this all it is to Hare Krishna life, spiritual life? Oh no, you know, you have to keep yourself clean also. And, you know, brush your teeth once a day, you know. And adding little bit, and little bit, and little bit, and little bit. And in that way, Swamiji started a whole movement. So we have to do that too. That formula still works. It still works. I had one bhakta traveling with me, and it was kind of like for 3 months, it was an every Friday psychology session. I saw it. It was like every Friday we get into this whole mental thing. You know, but why? Dude, it's like this, and this, and this, and this, and this. You know, okay, I get it. Saturday is fired up. Sunday is fired up. Monday. And then Tuesday is like, you know, the mind is coming again. Wednesday. Thursday is like, okay, what's up? You know? And for 3 months, every Friday. And finally I said, okay, either you take this movement or you leave. You know, and for some reason he realized, oh man, are you going to kick me away, Prabhu? It's like, yeah, because you're trying not to get it. I'm becoming like your you know, psychological dad. I have to answer all your questions and change your diapers. You know, it's like, understand it or don't. And it was like a switch, you know, and it just kind of, luckily it went for the better, better direction. So, yeah. Something else, Matajis. Any chastisements, please? I would like to formally welcome Dina Bandupuru. It's so very nice to see you. Like, he brings Vrindavan into every place he goes. Jai. Okay. So for those of you watching us on Big Brother who live in LA, Dina Bandupuru will be speaking at 6:30 every evening. Please come to the temple. I know you're watching. Okay. All right. Well, thank you very, very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.